It's time for another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor the monthly Monte Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast, highlighting member businesses, events, and organizations. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce exists to promote business in the Monte Vista area. They serve its members and the community at large by planning and hosting many local events, social media promotions, advertising, and help to improve community relations and communication among the residents and guests of the Monte Vista area. Their mission is to advance a sustainable business environment and improve the quality of life for the community. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is located at 947 First Avenue. You can call them at 719-852-2731. That's 719-852-2731. Or visit their website, montevistachamber.org. That's montevistachamber.org. And check back at the beginning of every month for another Monte Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast on slvoices.com.
Coming up on this podcast are three unique interviews. The first is with Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce Treasurer, Maria Aguilar. Following that is the January Chamber of Commerce Business of the Month, the Bridget Alamosa, featuring Senior Executive Director, Carol Riggenbach. And we wrap up this podcast by talking with President Gary Wilkinson and Vice President Danielle Anderson of the Monte Vista Education Foundation.
I'm Adam, and this is the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce Business Spotlight for January 2020. This is the first podcast of the new year and a new decade as well. Part of each month's podcast is to introduce our listeners to our local Chamber of Commerce and the good folks behind the scenes who are keeping it all running. This month, we're talking with Maria Aguilar. She is the Monte Vista Chamber Treasurer. She's also a senior branch manager at our local Sunflower Bank right here in Monte Vista. Maria, we appreciate you taking time to talk to us. Thank you.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity of being here.
Maria, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Mexico.
Really?
Yes.
Well, how did you end up in Monte Vista in the San Luis Valley then?
My father had family in the valley. It was in Center, Colorado. I moved to Monte Vista as there was a little more opportunity than Center. And I was working at a convenience store for about 5 years and bringing deposits to Sunflower Bank. Then I was asked to apply for a teller position. I was not very interested at the time, but I went ahead and applied.
Okay.
They ended up hiring me. So at first I thought banking was not for me, honestly, but here I am 12 years after.
Because obviously it's worked out. You're the senior branch manager now.
Yes, I have worked my way up thanks to a lot of people that believe in me and gave me the opportunity.
That is wonderful. Maria, what groups are you involved with locally here in the Valley?
I'm involved with the Chamber, Conquistadors, Rotary, and the Monte Vista Head Start.
What do you do in your off time? What's your favorite hobby?
I like to spend time with my family and my kids.
Maria, tell us a little bit about Sunflower Bank and what you do here as the senior branch manager.
Okay, Sunflower Bank was funded in 1892. We operate as First National 1870 in New Mexico and El Paso, Texas. We kept that name to honor the roots because it was dated 1870. And we're also additionally with our mortgage company, which is Guardian Mortgage. We are at approximately a $4 billion in assets. We have two headquarters, one in Denver and one in Kansas, with about 60 branches. We're also a 5-bank star and a full-service bank.
Wow, that's a high rating.
Yes.
That is awesome. What do you do here as senior branch manager?
I do a little bit of everything. I can teller, I can open accounts, I can do loans, just whatever's needed. I've worked in every area.
What is your favorite thing to do here?
My customers, dealing with my customers. I'm very attached to them as I've been here for a long time. So I like to visit with them and help them out.
You're more than just a bank. You're offering personalized service to people.
Right.
How is Sunflower Bank involved locally with Monte Vista?
We are involved in so many different ways. We try to help the community in many ways. We are involved with Community Ambassadors, which is a great program. It's a scholarship for high school students. We go in, we give out classes to the students, we tell them about how to build their credit, how to apply for a loan, how to do an interview, what questions to ask, what not to ask, how to go dressed. We pretty much prepare them for the outside world, outside the school.
You mentioned an ABC program too?
Yes, we also have our ABC program. We do this every year. Every school in the Valley is more than welcome to join. So far, we have the Dal Norte School, Sargent School, Center Schools, Monta Vista Schools, and St. Peter's. Every time a customer ties their debit card to that school and they swipe the card, we donate 5 cents to the school of their choice.
Oh.
So then it keeps adding up. And then any customer that comes in and opens an account, we will pay them $50 and we'll match the school as well. And the other way of making money is the students bring in their report card for that semester. They do not have to bank with us at all. Then we draw one report card from every school and we pay $10 for every A up to $100. So then if a student gets $100 in that report card, we match the school as well.
That is awesome. So you really are tied locally here in many ways. Maria, how did you become involved with the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce?
I was actually invited by one of the members. She was actually the treasurer, Kay Harmon, and that's how I started.
What do you do as treasurer for the Monta Vista Chamber? I mean, obviously, it's a very fitting position. You work at a bank, and you're our treasurer, too.
Yeah, I sign checks and just help them out whenever they need me to.
Tell me a little bit about some of the events coming up with the chamber.
Well, the Ag Conference is coming up now in February. It's a very busy event. I think that's one of our biggest events out of the year. We have people from everywhere coming in. We sponsor the social hour. We try to help out as much as we can there as well.
Well, obviously, the chamber is busy, busy, busy. This is a super busy season coming up. As you said, the Ag Conference and the Crane Fest, the Home and Garden Show is coming up as well. I see people over there running.
Correct.
Which is a good thing.
Yes.
Maria, what do you see as a benefit of a local business or organization joining our Chamber of Commerce?
I think it helps you knowing what events are going on. That way you can get involved and get to meet more people outside of your business.
If someone is considering a local business, you have resources right here at Sunflower Bank where people can come in and talk to you?
Correct. We have different products and services that we can offer a small business, as well as you can do a credit card merchant, or if you need a loan or a credit card, we can help you with any of those services.
We have somebody who wrote a story about your life. Would you be the hero or the villain?
I think that would depend on who you ask. I can be both.
Maria, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Tell us about Sunflower Bank, what you do with the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce, and certainly wish you the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Bridge at Alamosa is the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce Business of the Month for January 2020. Carol Riggenbach, Senior Executive Director, is here to talk about the Bridge at Alamosa, discuss how they started, how they operate, and a whole lot more.
A senior living community. That's the Bridge at Alamosa. Here to tell us all about what's happening is Carol Riggenbach. She is the Senior Executive Director. Welcome to the SL Voices studio, Carol.
Thank you, Adam. It's nice to be here. Thank you.
We appreciate you coming by. And where are you originally from?
I'm from here.
You are?
I'm from the San Luis Valley. I was born and raised in Alamosa and graduated from Sangre High School and Adams State.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, your past, your history. What have you done?
What have I done? I've mostly done this, Adam, taking care of older folks for 25 years, and I love it. So, and I have two children. My daughter is a speech therapist, and my son is my partner at Rain Brews, a coffee shop and tap house in Monta Vista. My mom works with me. My mom and I have worked together forever and a day for the 25 years, and I farmed in La Garita, so I love the area. When I was in high school, I thought I was wanting to leave, and I never did leave. I've stayed here my whole life.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right? And I love it. I'm glad I did.
What other kinds of groups are you involved with here locally in the San Luis Valley?
You know, I'm part of the Rotary group in Alamosa. I belong to them. Statewide, I am part of the Colorado Gerontological Society board. I'm on their board, and I'm actually the president this year, so I've taken on a big job there.
What is that specifically?
The Colorado Gerontological Society is an organization, a nonprofit that helps seniors across the whole state of Colorado. Our main focus is the folks with Medicaid and people who really need some help finding even the right answers about what should I do, where should I go for this and that for help. They do good work, and they do a lot of good work at the legislative level.
What do you do in your off time? Like, what is your favorite hobby?
You know, I like sewing.
You do?
Yes, I do. I like to sew. I like to sew quilts. And I'm a pilot. I haven't been flying for a while, but I'm a tailwheel pilot. So I have a lot of friends in the community in the San Luis Valley that I have flown with and that they have their airplanes. And so one of these days I'll be back flying. Right now I'm a little grounded.
The Bridge at Alamosa is the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce's Business of the Month for January. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's an honor.
Well, tell us about the Bridge at Alamosa and go into as much detail as you'd like.
You know, the Bridge at Alamosa actually came from the whole idea that we needed a lot more assisted living in the San Luis Valley. And I was the executive director at San Luis Care Center. So I was running the nursing home and the assisted living. And I knew the demand that we had and that I wanted to help more people. So I started working with some local people and got it off the ground. And then Life Care Centers of America, Forrest Preston, he agreed and we built the bridge. So the Bridge at Alamosa was a miracle building, actually. And if you talk to any of the corporate people with Life Care across the United States, they can't believe that. Why did we build an Alamosa? That's the big question. When they drive down here from Denver and they see where we're located, they wonder why we built here. But it's a beautiful area, and Mr. Preston, he understands the value of the rural areas and wanted to take care of us here, so it was nice. It was a blessing and a miracle, for sure. The Bridge at Alamosa actually takes care of folks from a very independent level to a very highly skilled need level. So there are folks that are still driving around, running businesses that live with us, all the way to folks who need help even feeding themselves. So we can do the full gamut. And one thing that was important to me as I was designing the Bridge at Alamosa is that from all my experience in the nursing home, for actually being a CNA in the nursing home before I was the executive director, I knew how I would want to build it different so that I could actually, if I was a caregiver, how I could work in it better with my seniors. And if you were even living there, how it would be more comfortable. My dad lived in my nursing home and my grandparents, and they passed away with me in the nursing home. So I had experience and knowledge firsthand of what a experience should be like, or a way I would want it to be like for the future for people. So there's a lot of little things at the Bridge at Alamosa that you might not notice or see that is very unique and different so that I can operate it better. I can help my staff be able to move and work within the space better so that they can give better care. And so that seniors feel more comfortable being and moving from their homes, being in assisted living. It's not easy growing older. It's tough work, but there's a lot of amazing people doing amazing things and showing all of us what growing old can be like. And I'm very proud of my seniors, how amazing they are and what they're able to accomplish in their late age.
You mentioned something about winning an award too.
Yeah, we've won lots of awards over the years. I've even had the health department send different facilities and organizations to us in the nursing home and the assisted living to learn from us about how to do it different and better. I'm part of the Eden Alternative. It's a big organization, worldwide organization that is very focused on making long-term care, nursing home assisted living, really creating a space that's more like home and less institutional. One thing about the Eden Alternative, they've been very influential, as well as Culture Change and the Pioneer Network. They've been very influential and on the cutting edge of how to make life better in a nursing home and in long-term care, all the way to the point that regulators have recognized, and especially in the state of Colorado, we are very blessed in the state of Colorado to have the regulations to have what we do have. Now, of course, I could gripe to you about some of those regulations.
Oh, sure.
Naturally, right? But overall, I have to say that we are very blessed with the regulations that we do have in the state of Colorado and the regulators that are focused on making life better in communities. And so that's where I've been able to help. And my staff, who I always say are the best in the world, my staff has been able to influence others who are doing the same work in other communities.
So for those who may not know, what are some of the primary differences between independent living and assisted living?
So, and that question is a big question you'll even see with social workers in the hospital and even in the ER. A lot of times, Adam, nowadays, I think the lines are very blurred. And the reason I say that is You, as a senior or a caregiver trying to take care of a senior, you need to go where you feel most comfortable. And all of us in those different spaces in independent living, in assisted living, and nursing home, those three levels, and not even to mention home health, but at those three institutional levels, you could live in any one of those. If you find a place that you feel really comfortable, and it doesn't matter if it's independent living, assisted living, or nursing home, you could actually live there. Most of us operators that have lots of experience, at least, we can figure out how to be able to help you be able to stay with us. For instance, even if you're independent living, but you love a nursing home and you may have the money to afford the nursing home, you could live there. You could actually live there. And independent living being usually that's more classified as you can do all your ADLs, your activities of daily living. You can do all those yourself. You don't need any help from anybody, or you may need some minor standby assist. However, Adam, what you'll see out there, and the reason why I say the lines are very blurred, because there are people that you could go into an independent living building, say anywhere in the Springs, Colorado Springs, Pueblo, Denver, you could go into those places and you could see somebody that you look at them and think, wow, how could they be independent living? They're in an automated chair. They can barely feed themselves. They're on lots of oxygen, packing around these tanks and whatever the case may be, or maybe they're taking a lot of meds. Well, what's happening is the home health agencies are able to come in and help that person in independent living. So they're not having to move.
Oh, okay.
And so you could, what a lot of us say in the industry, age in place. So you could be in that independent living. Maybe you started out there and you wanted to stay. And as you've aged and as you've needed more help, or you've had situations come up, health conditions come up, you just hire home health and you're able to stay. So it's the same thing with assisted living. You can go into assisted livings all over the country and look and think, wow, this looks more like these people need a lot more help. Or this other assisted living, wow, they've got a lot of independent people running around. So the lines are very blurred nowadays and we can get very creative. So wherever somebody wants to live, if you talk to the executive director, to the administration of that community, you're going to be able to stay and you're going to be able to make things work so that you don't have to move from one community to the next, because that's important. You've made friends.
What are some of the services and amenities your facility does offer?
We offer a lot, a lot, a lot. Well, I had one lady say one time, she said, whatever you can think of, we'll go do it. And so we will do whatever the group of folks that are with us, we'll go do that with them. Whether it be train rides or whether it be going out weekly bus rides all over the state of Colorado, we make things happen, even camping and my mom driving the bus and running over rocks and getting flat tires.
Oh, my. Right. There's a story there.
Oh,
there?
Yeah. There's always a story. Or going out to the potato field and getting stuck in the dirt during harvest. But that's all fun stuff. And I talked to one of our families one time and said, you know what, that would be really cool if we could go out there, get stuck. It would be a great story for the seniors. And if you guys could pull us out with a tractor, that's just all adventure right there.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's something to talk about at dinner time and there's no harm done. So even up to that, Adam, I will take the van out and go get stuck in a potato field. But we also offer, we have a pool, we have a beautiful indoor pool and a hot tub, and we offer water aerobics, and we have a gym, an amazing gym where we can do a lot of fitness and exercise programs, and we've got qualified, certified instructors. We also have a certified music therapist, and she's amazing. She's really outstanding and she makes a big difference and brings in all of her equipment every week, and we do that as well. We offer so many options in food and even care services. And what time do you want to get up to? What time do you want to go to bed? I don't have any rules. I think that's the biggest thing too, Adam, that when you retired, I don't think any of us want to be living under a whole bunch of rules. Sure, there's the rules that govern the land. No stealing, no killing, no that
right.
sort of thing,
the basics,
right?
Basics, yes.
The basics. But I don't have any rules. And I want people to be as free as possible, and so do my staff. And my staff understand that we're not going to do things out of our convenience. We're going to do things, we're going to help you what fits your schedule, not ours.
What would you point to as the bridge at Alamosa's most outstanding accomplishment in the past couple of years?
You know, I think our most outstanding accomplishment is that we've been able to keep people And here I go to the regulations again. But we've been able to keep people and help them all the way to the end, where they didn't have to move. We didn't have to kick them out to the nursing home, so to speak. And we were able to tailor the care for them and be able to make sacrifices, to watch my staff even make sacrifices and to bend and to adjust, and even other seniors to bend to adjust so that we could keep someone there with us so that they did not have to leave and that they could be with us all the way to their passing and that they didn't have to disrupt their life at the very end and be around people that they didn't know. There's so many good nursing homes. They're amazing. They're awesome. It's not to take away from them one bit. So the fact that they're able to stay with us and be able to stay around the people that they have relationship with and around the people that know their ways. So at the end of your life, when you may not be able to tell us what you need, when we already known you for years, you don't need to tell us. We know exactly what to do for you.
Comfort right to the end.
Amen.
That's wonderful. What is your favorite thing about the Bridge at Alamosa?
The favorite thing about the Bridge at Alamosa is the seniors. There's no doubt about it. It's the older folks. There's no doubt, not one bit. We have a beautiful, amazing facility. The building is just upscale. Nothing was spared. We really created a beautiful community for people. You can have that. And I've been in buildings that are absolutely gorgeous and beautiful, but there was so much missing. And that's missing in a lot of buildings is love, but not at the Bridge. There's so much love and the seniors love us. We love them. The families, the love that we get from our families. We're all a family, and you hear that a lot from a lot of communities, and there is a very special thing that happens when we're all living together and working together, and we all are working towards that goal of being a part of a great person's life. We have the best job in the world. We get to be at the very end with someone, and that life of amazing accomplishments and all these things you hear stories about of all the amazing careers that people have had or the battles that they've won and our veterans and what they've been through. You know, when you've got a switchboard operator, she was at the switchboard plugging all the phone lines in during Pearl Harbor.
Oh,
you know, and she can tell you about that and about all the phone calls and her board was lit up and she's trying to make all these connections. So when you live and you work and you're with people that have seen and done things that none of us can even imagine what it must have been like, that's special. That makes the whole thing, it's just magic. It's just God being there and Him blessing all of us all the way around.
How did the Bridge at Alamosa become involved with the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce?
Because I live in Monta Vista.
Ah.
Right? And I think it's important that we're a part of the different organizations, the different chambers and different towns within the San Luis Valley. And we've tried to be very supportive of the different towns, even though we're in Alamosa, we've tried to be very supportive of the different towns and, again, just support them because we have a lot of Monta Vista folks with us.
Carol, what is something that you failed at and what did you learn by that failure?
Something I failed at. Well, I do think it's an interesting story. My mom has always worked for me. And however, I didn't hire her. Back in the day at the nursing home, she was already working at the nursing home when her and I became a team. And she was my activities director. And as a young person at 27 years old, trying to run a nursing home and trying to be the boss, right? And trying to understand my space and how to do that. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I had to learn was how to do that and how to do it very well with my mother. My mom and I went through a lot together. And as we walked that road of her having to listen to me bossing her around and me trying to be sensitive. And, you know, for me, I'm very hard on myself and I'm very hard on my crew and I expect a lot. I never drop the bar. I know that we're not always going to make it, but I never drop it because I always believe in people. And probably what I've done is with my mom, I probably expected a lot more out of her than I ever should have. So that's probably the biggest thing that I would say that I failed in understanding how to work with that space with my mom as we worked together. But we got it now. She just gets to do whatever she wants.
Carol, if someone wrote a story about your life, what would you be, the hero or the villain?
I would be the hero.
Why?
Although some people might say the villain. I would definitely be the hero. I love helping people. It's in my blood. It's my number one priority. It's what I do. And since I was very young, I've been doing that. So it's just what I like to do. I find a lot of satisfaction in helping people and coming to people's rescue. So when I was a little kid, I loved watching Wonder Woman. Still like watching all those guys and all those hero movies.
What is one of the craziest things you've seen done in a workplace that you've worked at?
Yeah, it's funny, Adam, because, you know, we were talking about this earlier. One of the things that I've seen, and of course, all of you listening, when you're in long-term care, when you're in the nursing world, and as a nurse or as a physician, you can have all kinds of crazy stories. And as an administrator within that space, you're always helping the nurses and helping the doctors try to navigate through what they've got to get through and what they've got to try to do for the client or for the patient.
Sure.
So I had two seniors that decided they were going to get married in my nursing home, and they did. They met each other, they fell in love, and they decided to get married. And like the old-fashioned couples would do, is they would wait before any sort of intimate relationships, right? They would wait until after they were married. So we had the wedding, and that night, or that day after the wedding, they moved all their stuff together in the same room. And so that night, he was having trouble fulfilling his husbandly duty. And so nurses had phone calls out to the doctor, and the doctor was ordering things and doing things and trying to help the situation. Well, nothing helped. And so the next morning, the new wife, the bride, she wanted to get the wedding annulled because of her husband couldn't fulfill his responsibility.
Oh, my.
That's one of the little wacky things I've seen, among others.
Well, I'm sure you see a lot, and I'm sure there's a lot of things you just can't say.
Right, and I wouldn't. And I say this, too, with this little couple, too, because they were just so cute. And she could be right here with me. This was long, long time ago. But both of them could have been here sitting in this studio, and they could have laughed about it, too. So I feel safe in that I'm not betraying them by telling that story, either.
Well, did they stay together?
You know, they stayed friends, but no, they did get the wedding annulled.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. He was heartbroken. And the physician and the nurses, they were, oh, it was so sweet. They were all trying to do whatever they could so that they could help, but it just wasn't possible.
It just wasn't in the cards. All right. Well, Carol, anything else that you'd like to mention about the Bridge at Alamosa?
The Bridge at Alamosa is a special place, and I do know that God, like I said before, it's a miracle building. And it has a lot of folks in there that live and work and play together that are amazing. And we have great stuff in our future. There's some new ideas. There's some creative things that we're going to be doing in the future that we're going to be making it maybe more available to a wider variety of folks and be able to help with seniors who are really needing some help and they really need a place to live and be and to be in a community with each other and build relationships and to stimulate each other and to live life together. And so that's what we do at the Bridge at Alamosa. We live life together. And that's why I always say on my radio shows or commercials, be careful, your kids might want to move back in with you. Because every time when I give a tour, that's exactly what the kids say. Well, Mom, I would live here. It's a fun place. We have joy. We face a lot of things, but one thing that we always try to remember is we're going to be laughing through the day and we're going to be patting people on the back that you're doing good. Don't forget what an amazing person you are and you have lots of life ahead of you and there's a reason why you're here and we need you.
Well, Carol, we thank you for coming by the ESL Voices studio, telling us about your past, what you've done, and of course, the Bridge at Alamosa. Very enlightening, very interesting place. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Adam. It's a pleasure and God bless you.
Did you know that Monta Vista has an education foundation dedicated to the students? We do! President Gary Wilkinson and Vice President Danielle Anderson are here to tell you what they do, some of the projects they have helped fund, and how you can get involved and much more.
Making a World of Difference. What is that? That's the title to the Monta Vista Education Foundation. We're here to find out what it is that these people do and how you can become involved. Joining us in the ESL Voices studio is Gary Wilkinson. Gary is president of the Monta Vista Education Foundation. Gary, you were here on a previous podcast representing the Monta Vista Chamber. And as I recall, you're a lifetime resident in Monta Vista. You were a retired teacher for the Monta Vista school system. You're on the school board. You're a coach. You teach web classes and just do a whole lot more, yet you're retired.
Yes, but I've never been a sitter, and I really want to be involved in the community. I love the community and anything to do with any aspect of our community, most especially students, since I'd spent 37 years as a teacher.
That is wonderful. Also joining us in the SL Voices studio is Danielle Anderson. Danielle is the Vice President of the Monta Vista Education Foundation. Welcome to the studios.
Thanks.
Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from here, from Monta Vista.
You are?
Yes.
A lifetime resident.
Lifetime, yep.
That is awesome. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your past, your history.
Alrighty. So I went to school in Monta Vista, and my first paying job was with the family business. And then from there, I worked for Agro Engineering, Bloom and Daisies, the Monta Vista Co-op, and now I'm the Vice President and Chief Financial Officer at Rio Grande Savings and Loan, and I've worked there for 12 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Thanks.
What type of groups are you involved with here in Monta Vista?
So I'm involved with, of course, the Education Foundation and the Chamber.
What do you do in your off time? Like, what is your favorite hobby?
I enjoy riding our side-by-sides. I enjoy being out in the mountains and camping.
You know, one of those Colorado things, isn't
yep.
it? That is great. What is something that you failed at, and what did you learn by that failure?
Well, actually, I suppose I would fail at graduate school. I was going to graduate school in chemistry at the University of Utah, and I'd always been a strong student, but it was really tough for me, and essentially, I flunked out because in grad school, a C is an F. But it turned out really well for me because I fell back on what was my true calling. And I went into education. I had picked up my education degree at Adams State, and I went into teaching. When I was at the University of Utah as part of my teaching fellowship to do my schooling, I worked with students in the labs. And so I guess by a failure, I found out that sometimes you can learn your true direction.
Danielle, if someone wrote a story about your life, would you be the hero or the villain, and why?
Hope to say I'd be the villain. Just kidding. The hero. I hope I'd be the hero. I guess I am just more positive. I have a more positive outlook on life and just would give the most support that I could to whoever needed it.
Well, let's learn about the Monta Vista Education Foundation. Tell me about this. What is behind all of it?
Alrighty. So it was established in April 1995. In the late 90s, Marge Wilkinson had our first investment of about $50,000. Since then, we have pulled out probably $80,000 from that investment. And since we have such a good growth in that, we are still at an $80,000 balance to this day. We can't thank her enough for what she's done for the foundation. And also, Jean Ritchie was a big donor herself with over $425,000.
What is the goal of the Monta Vista Education Foundation?
Well, the goal of the Monta Vista Education Foundation is to support Monta Vista students pre-K to 12 in any endeavors that they may have in the classroom. So originally, when they set up the foundation, it was primarily for scholarships, and those could be scholarships to college, but they could also be scholarships to different events that students might attend, or even things like a student council retreat or something of that nature. And then as we got the Jean Ritchie funds that Danielle spoke about, that kind of set up the foundation for scholarships. And currently, the foundation gives scholarships, three annual scholarships for $3,000, which are renewable for up to 4 years. And so we have been charged with making those funds last as long as we can to impact as many students as possible. So the focus of the Education Foundation has now gone to school projects, and that's what the other funding has been used with, the same kind of goal, to try to get it to last as long as we can and impact as many students as we possibly can.
Well, tell me about some of the recent projects that the Education Foundation has been involved with.
We work in conjunction with the Athletic Facilities Committee to achieve a Daniels grant for $157,500 to complete restrooms, concessions, storage, lighting, security, and entrances at the Monta Vista Community Sports Complex in 2015. The Monta Vista Education Foundation has supported numerous student-centered projects beginning in 2001 for a total of $77,500.
And you are a charitable organization.
Yes, that's correct. We're a 501c3.
Okay. Well, how would someone go about donating or finding out more about you?
We actually have a website, It's actually embedded within the school district website, and it can be found on a standalone. You can even get it from the school district website, because our sole purpose for existing is Monta Vista students, so we work in concert with the school district. On that webpage, you will find donor forms that can be downloaded. There's also a link that goes through the school system called RevTrack that someone could donate with a credit card if they wanted to. And that would go directly to the Education Foundation account. And of course, all of those are tax deductible.
What about volunteering, if someone would like to donate their time to help the Education Foundation?
Absolutely. You could always volunteer in numerous ways. I mean, a lot of the classroom projects could involve people from the community getting involved in helping, you know, with in-kind or their presence or whatever the case may be. In addition, we're always looking for new input and new board members for the Education Foundation. We only meet quarterly, but, you know, we want all those different points of views to support each of these different endeavors that we're looking at.
Okay, and again, you can reach out to you through your website. All this information will also be on this podcast page. If anybody is interested, they can just drop by the page and look, and all your contact information will be there as well.
Great.
Now, how have things changed for the Monta Vista Education Foundation over the years?
When I first started, it was mostly donations for scholarships, and we've actually started donating for different school activities. We now, with the Ritchie Fund, we are able to do a 4-year renewable scholarship, which is awesome for the kids that are selected for the scholarship. We're able to renew that. And then also with the swim program, we've helped them be able to expand that from just, I think it was a spring session. We're able to do now a spring and fall session through Hooper Pool.
On the swim program before, we were only impacting 2 grade levels, and now the school can impact all 4 grade levels with the help of the Education Foundation. Obviously, the school district puts in a great deal of money to it themselves, but not to expand it. And as we all know, swimming is a life skill that all people should actually possess. And so this gives us the opportunity to do that. And without the support of the Education Foundation, the district would not be able to provide that for students.
So what you're saying is it's not just like a free swim day. They're going out and learning skills, how to swim, float, and all the other things.
Absolutely. And that's another place that volunteers can help with that program, because they're always looking for additional instructors and folks to supervise the students so they're getting the most out of it. It's obviously the lower grade levels, it's just getting used to water and those kinds of things. And the more the merrier in terms of that. So you can either contact the Education Foundation or the school district directly to get involved in that.
What would you point to as the Education Foundation's most outstanding accomplishment in the last couple of years?
Well, you know, other than the Ritchie scholarships and the swimming, which are obviously very impactful, I don't know that we could narrow it down that much, because we've had just recently an awful lot of different funded projects. Just in 2019, we funded an autoclave for the high school science department. We've also funded 2 sets of aero sports for the middle school PE department. We funded display boards for the high school history fair program, obviously the swimming program. We funded some International Space Station devices that are actually linked to the space station, and those devices have gone across the district, K-12. We've also funded some contra bass bars, which we had to ask the music instructor what those were, but those are used in programs at the Bill Metz Music Program. We funded 5th grade boys and girls nights to work on bullying and relational aggression. We helped with a math program at the middle school so that you can see that the foundation is trying to reach across the gamut and fund wherever the help is needed.
What is your favorite thing about the Monta Vista Education Foundation?
For me, it's being able to help such a variety of the kids, not just with scholarships, but all these different programs, like Gary said, you know, from math to science to history fair. You know, we're able to help in all the different categories.
How did the Monta Vista Education Foundation become involved with the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce?
Well, in fact, the president of the Chamber of Commerce, Linda Burnett, and myself, and I'm the vice president of the Chamber of Commerce, are both on the Education Foundation. And we just started thinking that it would be prudent to get more community involvement. So the Education Foundation joined the chamber. And this is a way to spread the effect of the chamber as well. because it's very effective. The more that we can involve youth, the community, the businesses, then the better it is for the entire community.
Well, let's face it, these students are our future.
Absolutely.
Well, Gary, Daniel, I want to thank you for stopping by the SL Voices studio, telling us about the Bonnet Vista Education Foundation. Again, if people are interested in finding out more, they can go to your website, they can go to the podcast page here, and all the contact information is there, and we urge people certainly to reach out and find out more. Obviously, you can always use more donations. If someone would like to even volunteer to help, absolutely reach out and talk to you more. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Located at 3407 Carroll Street in Alamosa, the Bridge at Alamosa combines the luxuries of retirement living with the comforts of home. Offering assisted living and independent living, our community tailors resort-style services and amenities to the needs and interests of our residents. Call 719-587-3514 for more information. Making a world of difference. The Monta Vista Education Foundation exists to make a difference in the lives of Monta Vista students by promoting the value of education and work ethic. For more information, email mvef@monte.k12.co.us or call 719-852-5996. If you are not part of the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce, give them a call to find out how to become a member at 719-852-2731 or stop by the chamber located at 947 First Avenue. And make sure to check back next month for another Monta Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast on slvoices.com or any major podcast platform.
The Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor the monthly Monta Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast, highlighting member businesses, events, and organizations. The Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce exists to promote business in the Monta Vista area. They serve its members and the community at large by planning and hosting many local events, social media promotions, advertising, and help to improve community relations and communication among the residents and guests of the Monta Vista area. Their mission is to advance a sustainable business environment and improve the quality of life for the community. The Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce is located at 947 First Avenue. You can call them at 719-852-2731. That's 719-852-2731. Or visit their website, montavistachamber.org. That's montavistachamber.org. And check back at the beginning of every month for another Monta Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast on slvoices.com.
We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on slvoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events. More listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word too by joining our Facebook group, SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley, and liking our posts on other social media outlets. Also, check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your family, friends, and neighbors. We all love this area, want to see it flourish, and you can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley.